Yakai, good morning. This is Murich Meg, RTR FM 92.1 Noongar Radio, Great Southern FM, Menang Country, Albany. Hello, Jodie.
Wow, and that's all we've got time for.
Yeah, don't be like that. Don't be like that. Yeah, Murich Meg, a weekly show on good news stories, and we've got that today. We're talking about Polly Farmer.
We are talking about Polly Farmer. Kim Farmer is coming to have a yarn with us. Some exciting news for the Polly Farmer Foundation. Kim is Polly's daughter and an extraordinary woman. She used to work with us at the Aboriginal Legal Service, but she is from Farmer Legal Proprietary Limited now, has her own law firm.
Okay.
Been a busy week for the Polly Farmer Foundation and a whole lot of students who were in Perth to take part in a Law Society of WA Youth Civics and Leadership Day.
Wow, we've got a lot to talk about. And guess what? Her son was taking photos at a forum I've been at for the past 2 days at Optus Stadium.
Well, he's busy because he was taking photos on Monday at this event in the Supreme Court Gardens as well.
It's all about farmer territory today, isn't it? Yeah, no, the lad was taking wonderful photos yesterday and today at Optus Stadium at the first ever Peakbody Forum associated with Aboriginal Services. So ACCO organisations, Aboriginal Community Controlled Organisations, came together and elected a new chair and chairperson and a board. They've been acting people on the board, both through the Aboriginal Health Council of West Australia. So Aboriginal Health Council of West Australia and Council of Aboriginal Services of West Australia are the only two peak bodies in the state. A lot of other states have many peak bodies, but wait a while, or the name of sometimes referred to as Western Australia, wait a while, I've been a little bit slow in developing, but it's taken a while to come together. So the Aboriginal Health Council of West Australia have been very instrumental in that, and some good people there. I won't talk much more about that because we'll get them on the program sometime soon. So they're meeting again today, talking with government people and what partnerships look like, et cetera, et cetera. And they'll finish about two today, I think. But there are some really good discussions for the past 2 days with the Council of Aboriginal Service in Western Australia. So looking forward to talking to Kim Farmer.
Yeah, look, and she's an awesome woman and just some exciting news for the foundation. And look, it really is life-changing. The Follow the Dream program that so many of our young crew are involved in is making such a difference. The program, well, I'll let her tell you all about it, but it's a fantastic program for our young people. My daughter was actually part of the Follow the Dream program.
Yes.
Got heaps out of it. And so we'll talk to Kim more about that. But look, just a big time as well, Jim. You know, last week, next week, this week is Law Week for those interested. There's been a lot of events taking place across Perth for Law Week, but also Reconciliation Week coming up.
Yes.
And Sorry Day on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of things happening that's certainly going to fill up the calendar for us next week. I'm not sure whether I'm looking forward to it or not. Talking about law, I'm going to Sydney on Tuesday to fly across and back the following morning, but talking to the legal fraternity in New South Wales and showing them the documentary, which we've talked about for the last 6 or 7 weeks, and maybe our listeners are probably getting fed up with it, but talking to the legal fraternity in Sydney about where to from here with range of issues that are occurring in WA, and the same people are organising something on the 19th of June here in Perth. So that's going to be interesting. The other reality is when I fly back Wednesday morning, I've got to spend some time in Bankshire Hill with young people and their supporters or the staff at Bankshire Hill with the same documentary. We're talking genocide in the Wildflower State, of course, and Radio RTR is promoting that really well. So it's been really quite overwhelming, Jodie.
From what started as some discussions and people coming forward and finding their voice throughout the process has been massive. But we had a screening at the Aboriginal Legal Service last week and attended by our staff that could make it. Of course, hard to get all your staff together when, you've got legal and court commitments. But a good turnout and great response. Such an emotional journey to watch, and you're taken on that journey with the people who've shown their strength and resilience by speaking out for genocide.
That's for sure. And if our listeners are keen to participate, go and look at the screening at Lunar Theatre next week. And, Jody, you did a community service announcement. We might play that today. But also SX in Fremantle is screening it next week as well. So, and if you have any thoughts too on what we're talking about, 0405 921 921 is our text line. So give us a yell if you like to say anything, whether you like what we're talking about, whether you don't. If it doesn't really matter, if you don't, you can just turn off the station, go to another one. But our people who listen, they're pretty faithful.
Yeah, and look, we're talking about Sorry Day, Sunday the 26th of May, and bringing them home. WA and Yokai are inviting you, the listeners, to join them for the 27th anniversary of the tabling of the Bringing Them Home report in the Australian Federal Parliament in 1997. And this year's event will feature a screening of Genocide in the Wildflower State. So this is going to be in Wellington Square Gym on Sunday.
Usual place. Yep. Sunday, 11 o'clock. So we invite our listeners to Moonish Mag, our listeners to RTRFM. If you want to see a free screening, come and join those people that support us for Sorry Day. And as Jody said, it's the 27th anniversary of the handing down the Bring Them Home report, the national inquiry into the removal of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children from their families. So come along and we'll see you down at the Large Feathers, which is on Wellington Square, the Stolen Generations Memorial. That, if you haven't been there too, it might be a good time to come and investigate that as a commemoration to all those people stolen from families. And, yeah, stay around to look at the documentary. We'll have a large marquee down there and a large screen, and hopefully the weather's going to be like this. It's been beautiful weather, isn't it?
Mm. Magic. So, look, that'll kick off with a Welcome to Country at 11 o'clock this Sunday, and that is at Wellington Square in East Perth. So do head along for that. A great opportunity to see the film for free, but also to get together with Mob and, you know, just get together for something more positive.
For sure. I can't wait to get to talk to Kim Farmer. There's some exciting stuff coming up. So stay locked to 92.1, the Sound Alternative.
Marinda's.
Yeah, Boomerang.
Hey, they started off a long time ago when the movie Sapphires came out.
They
you remember?
Did. I do. Beautiful voices. And they live in Melbourne now.
The young ladies come along to the opening of Sapphires at the Paris Cinema in Northbridge. And they came in there with their, what do you call them, beehive hair? Is that what you call those, the era
of
beehive heads. But that's how they came, but they did all this Motown stuff like Sapphires did, and they've
it
gone.
It just took off that much.
Yeah,
so
they did so well.
Yeah, Melbourne love them. Yeah. Everybody loves them.
Yeah, they started off with, what was their first song?
No, I'm not going to help.
No, can't remember it now, but that was Boomerang. They're doing gangbusters over in Melbourne, and the Koori Mob love them, so that's yeah, that's really good to play some of their music and play original music too. But we've got Kim Farmer that's just joined us in the studio. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Jody.
Morning, Kim. We want to keep you for the whole show. We hope you've got time.
Do. You're
Absolutely.
Not going nowhere, girl.
You can't get rid of me.
Listen.
I locked the door as I came in.
Who are you, Mob? Where are you from?
Kim Farmer. I'm Noongar. And as you understand, I'm sort of second generation, stolen generation,
yes,
through dad, poly farmer, and dad's family originally came from the Containing region.
Yeah, that's where I was born.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Look out. So, poly farmer, of course, there's some structure named after him, of course, and he was quite famous. Are we going to spend some time talking about what dad did?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
Got any questions?
But I mean, your mum and where you're from, but you're quite a talented lady. What's your
not for football though, Jim.
You know, well, you haven't played football. What's the matter with you, girl? You must have played football.
And definitely not singing.
Definitely not singing. So, what do you do, Kim? What's your claim to fame? Because you're famous.
I'm not sure what you're referring to, Jim. My day job is I'm a criminal defence lawyer, and I spent many years working at the Aboriginal Legal Service, and my heart still really beats for ALS, but I've been out on my own for quite a while.
Right. Well, that's important. I mean, a legal person in our world is just so important.
Yep. Yep.
So congratulations on all the work you've done.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming into our weekly program, Munich Mag. And I think this is probably one of a 157th podcast.
Wow, that's pretty good.
So we're doing okay and they're keeping us on, so we must be doing something right, eh, Jodie?
Yeah. But look, it's been a busy week, Kim. I saw you on Monday. There was the Law Society of Western Australia, as part of Law Week, organised the Youth and Civics Leadership Day. And there was about 25 students, half would have probably been from regional WA, who were all selected or nominated because they show leadership qualities. So they didn't necessarily have to want a career in law, although many of them did. But you were on a leadership panel with Wayne Nanup, CEO of the Aboriginal Legal Service, Roy Blurton and Lydia Taylor, also from the Aboriginal Legal Service, talking to this young crew about leadership and then breaking up into smaller groups where the kids felt a bit more relaxed and confident to just be able to sit around in a bit of a yarning circle. It's beautiful, isn't it, when you see our young people coming up and getting that confidence and, you know, even, you know, it was hard for some of the kids to even introduce themselves, getting over that shyness. But they all came through the other side. It was beautiful, wasn't it?
Oh, look, it was amazing. Can you, you're probably a little bit different, but everyone else, can you imagine being at school and talking publicly and about yourself?
Yeah.
That's probably about the hardest thing to do. And I was like feeling for them, but then there was all this confidence. I'm going, oh, where did that come from?
Yeah,
it's taken me years to be able to kind of talk in public, and I would have chewed my arm off at school rather than speak up.
But, no, I'm with you there. Yeah.
But it was an incredible day. These students, you know, they were year 10, 11 and 12. There was even two from New South Wales, from Muswellbrook. And the majority were part of the Follow the Dream Polly Farmer Foundation. I know we'll talk about that a little bit later. But it was such an amazing day because, although what you said, Jodie, they don't necessarily have to be aiming to be a lawyer, then there definitely were some. And the next day I took one young girl out and took her to the courts and she just was loving it. But it was about being at least having a bit of a dream already at their age and going, they want to go on and study. Nearly all of them just said they know they want to go to university. It was incredible. And they'd been there all day. I know when we turned up at lunchtime, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Peter Quinlan, was there. David Lumberg was there, Sue Gordon's son, who's just been appointed as a Supreme Court judge. David McLean, another First Nations District Court judge, were there. They were looking happier than the kids, just seeing this incredible group. And, you know, I think we were a bit mindful they'd had a full day, so we weren't wanting to overwhelm. But what we were trying to demonstrate is, you know, you can't be what you can't see, but you can see this, panel of leaders. And also, it wasn't just the panel, was it? It was all those young people like Marley Zeta, Bree Yaron already doing her law degree, and they had this just a plethora of particularly Noongar role models for young people.
Yeah.
Yes, well, you know, I'm not one to talk about myself, but when I was growing up and younger, there were no lawyers. You know,
there was no interest
whatsoever in any of our mob thinking legal, lawyers or judges. So, I mean, we were, I guess, we wanted the services of legal people and lawyers, but there was never any aspiration to go beyond year 10 even.
Yep.
And now we're finding just a whole range of young people. So it's exciting just to hear the experience you've had in the last week. Because, I mean, I'm meeting someone shortly who is unsure, doing some study, but the more he learns, the more this person is understanding his history. He may be going down another path. So it is about understanding your community more as to how you really then adapt to what might be a suitable career. So I'm really pleased that you've had how many people attending?
25.
That's really good. So these people have all gone through higher education.
They're going through
11 and 12. Yep. So they're at varying stages, are they?
Yeah. Year 10, 11, 12. Yep, they're in the heart of their studies.
So this is a good time for them to really think about what their career path is.
Yep.
I mean, sometimes you have to really think about maybe this needs to happen at primary school, which I think that's probably strong too. We need to be thinking about what career paths are younger people. So congratulations on being involved in Law Week. Is Curtin Law School involved?
I know Murdoch was.
And Curtin was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it was Law Society's gig, wasn't it? But
Yep. Put on by the Law Society of WA. Yep. So a lot of planning went into it to just make sure that the kids got the most out of that one day. It was an intensive day. They heard all about... Well, they had elders welcome them. They had a walk to, you know, feel some culture around them and know more about the city, the leadership session that you were involved with, Kim, but other keynote speakers and members of the legal fraternity, you know, turning up. You know, these are very busy people that wanted to be involved in the journey for this day for these young people. Yeah. So it was fantastic.
I think I asked a few, you know, what was their favourite bit, and one particularly was the walk. It was really amazing. And then another one was, I think it was a session on no shame, no blame, or something like that.
Yes.
And then quite a bit was they really liked the lunch.
Just no longer good feed. Get people
I'm with them.
Well, we talked earlier about I'm flying to Sydney on Tuesday as part of Reconciliation Week and talking to a range of legal people about the issues we're dealing with here. And the same organisation is hosting something on the 19th of June around the issues that we're dealing with here, particularly around compensation. Yeah. So there is a lot of interest out there. And I'd get to invite the kids to one of those, the 19th of June.
Amazing.
Oh,
it would really be amazing. But if I keep kind of connecting back to the foundation, the Polypharma Foundation, what a lot of students sort of report is not knowing who they are, where they've come from, what their family is, and it gives them a sense of belonging. And you know, I had one young girl, actually a farmer, come up and say her dad had, you know, they'd grown up in Western Sydney and didn't know the family. And I was like, you know, she wanted to know more. And I said, well, we'll connect you so that... That's why it's so important for them to be coming along to these days, because they will love it. Hey?
Let's make sure that happens. That's the 19th of June, I think. It could be the 19th or the 27th. Yep. But, I mean, that's a reality. Yep. I've been asked to go to Banksia Hill next week, and I'm looking forward to that. But there is a problem, as you said, I mean, as you've identified, a lot of our young people haven't been raised in that family situation where family is close, and that's part of the challenges I think we have in the future. I mean, and a lot of people have said it. You have a lot of young people in juvenile detention. You have a lot of young people incarcerated in these old prisons that don't really have a clue who their mob is and where they come from.
Jody and yourself know, like, anecdotally, the prisons are full of people from stolen generations, first and second generation.
Mm.
Just the overwhelming impacts of that. And, of course, then you're in a society not feeling... belonging, not knowing who you are, not who your people are, and all the, you know, just leads you down the road where you become connecting with the criminal justice system, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, you know, what we've got to do is undertake that truth telling to ensure people understand their history, because they don't know, and they're probably blaming themselves to a degree as to why they're dealing with things the way they are, when there needs to be a better way.
That's right. I mean, and the truth-telling, it has to start at pre-kindy for all Australians. You know, instead of constantly Aboriginal people trying to explain why people are in trauma and in pain and, you know, but if it was like little kids growing up, they'd understand it. They'd understand it better than some of their parents and their grandparents and, you know... They wouldn't be part of this sort of very negative attacks of anything positive about Aboriginal people.
I've got to talk about Luke Carroll. Luke Carroll was facilitated the workshop the last 2 days, and he's over there at the Optus Stadium now, where I probably could have been if I didn't do my radio show. And he was and has been involved in play school for some 13 years.
Yeah.
So he was delightful to see. He's here for another 3 weeks, I think, doing some filming down at Augusta. Now, where was his claim to fame, Jodie? Luke Carroll.
I can picture him on Play School. What was his claim to fame?
Oh, he's been in a number of soapies. He's been involved. Well, probably more comedy. But anyway, that's we don't talk about Luke Carroll.
Yeah, absolutely. He's an incredible actor. He's been in a plethora of things. I think he's a pretty talented musician. I might be adding that to his resume, but I thought he was.
Theatre. The last time I saw him before, just this week, was at a theatrical, I think it was about astronauts. Now, that's testing my memory now. Remember the Skylab that fell down in Esperance?
Yes.
Yeah? There was a play around that, and he was part of it.
Yeah. I remember that. There you go. No, it was over on the Nullarbor, I think, because when we used to drive for days in our old camper van across the Nullarbor, there was a big, very old placard of where Skylab was found, part of it.
Skylab, that's it. I'm sure he was involved in that. But there's been many good theatrical performances in Perth with a whole range. And there were times when there were theatrical performances clashing, one at State Theatre and one at Her Majesty. Anyway, Polly Farmer.
Look, for those who aren't aware, we're talking about the Polly Farmer Foundation. And it was launched in 1997.
Thereabouts.
Some time ago, Kim, with the aim to provide educational after-school programs to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students with academic ability. A visionary well before his time, Polly saw education as a stepping stone to closing the gap, enabling Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students to access tertiary education, direct employment and leadership opportunities. That's 27 years ago.
Yeah. And we would have been about 10, wouldn't we?
Oh, yes. if that.
Five.
How many goals has it kicked over the years? Excuse the pun.
Yeah.
But how incredible.
It's hard to kind of move away from a football sort of metaphor because, you know, he was known for creating opportunities on the field, and really that's what the foundation is. I always say when I'm talking at events that there are alumni or students is we can't claim your success. Your success is your success. You're the one that's doing the homework at night. You're studying. You're setting your goals. But we are there. The foundation's there, like many other really good support services and organisations, to create opportunities and to say if you would like to take advantage of this opportunity, we will support you. Mm. And that's I think what it's been doing. And yeah, we've definitely kicked a lot of goals. We've been the type of a bit like sailing under the radar. That's the really wrong metaphor, but you know what I mean? Yeah. I put two together in there. Going under the radar, not really wanting to talk ourselves up, but so we've done very little sort of celebrating. We did have our 25th anniversary 2 years ago, which was from the first program in the Pilbara, and that was just really exciting. And on Monday we're going to celebrate our first ever Home Forever. We've never really focused on that. We've always just been focusing on the work, but we realise actually we need to have a solid foundation for our foundation.
So you've bought a property that is going to house,
the
foundation.
Not me.
Tell us where it is and how exciting it was to actually achieve something like that.
Yeah, it is in East Perth. It's right opposite the train station. So we're looking for places that could be really accessible, particularly when students come down from, if they don't live in Perth, I should say, they can come and visit us. But by chance, it's just such an important place. It's East Perth, you know, and Dad originally played for East Perth Football Club, and importantly, you both know, but Jim, you know, how important was East Perth
for
Noongars back in the day?
Yeah, for Blackfellas, they loved East Perth.
Yeah. Look, well, not the club so much, but I'm talking about the whole area,
East Perth. Look, we should go to a song, and I want to talk more about his career before we talk about the foundation and bricks and mortar, which is important. But let's have a break and talk about his career, because he kicked off in East Perth the year before I was born. Yep. Let's go to a song for the community service announcement. We heard Troy Cassadaly. What was that called?
Some Days.
Some Days.
Troy Cassadaly. We all have them, don't we?
We do. Days. We have some days. We have some days. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. Yeah, Troy Cassadaly was a guest a year ago or two, and has been a friend of Mudditch Mag for quite some time now. But Polly Farmer, let's just do a quick summary of his playing career. He's played 393 games, kicked 301 goals. Kicked off at East Perth, you like that? 1953 to 61, 176 games. Then went from there to Geelong, 1962, 101 games. Then back to West Perth, 79 games. Played for Western Australia 31 times. And Victoria, 6 games, 6 goals. So that's the playing honours. He's an AFL, or Australian Football Hall of Fame inductee, legend status. No wonder we got a Polly Farmer Freeway named after him. 1996, AFL Team of the Century, 1996 as a ruck. West Australian Team of the Century, Geelong Team of the Century, West Perth Team of the Century. It just goes on and on and on. And a famous man, but we've also got a famous daughter in the studio, Kim Farmer, who's talking to us about the Polly Farmer Foundation. But I just thought I should just give you a bit of an overview, just a brief summary. I mean, he's won Sandover medals many times, Simpson medal many times as well. So Polly Farmer, just remember now, if you go under that bridge, that tunnel that goes under the city, and you go further south, that's a Polly Farmer Freeway.
No, there's a story behind why it's not the Polly Farmer Freeway.
I'll stand corrected.
Hey,
okay.
Kim.
Okay. Yeah. We're talking Polly. That sounds too much like a Polly waffle. Okay.
Tell us the story.
Well, the first part of the story is when my mum rang to say that they're going to name a road after Poll. I said, is it going to be cul-de-sac? No through road? Dead End Street. She said, no, I think it's going to be bigger than that. And then they were contemplating how they're going to call the name, the Main Roads Crew. And then they thought about, oh, Polly Farmer, that's who he is, that's who it should be. But then they thought when he's long gone, they'll probably think it's some lovely old lady making you a cup of tea.
Probably putting the kettle on.
Yes, exactly.
I'll stand corrected. 1997, Graham Polly Farmer launched the Polly Farmer Foundation. I should make a quote from him, though. Can I do that?
Do it.
Education is the key for Aboriginal people to take their rightful place in modern Australian society. Unless we rectify the imbalance in opportunities currently available, young Aboriginal people will continue to be frustrated and unable to develop their talents to make their rightful contribution to the economy and society. And we will all be poorer for that, he says. Polly Farmer, MBE. Now, I've got to correct myself. Graham Farmer, which is what the freeway's named after him and not Polly. Yep.
Whatever you say, Jim.
Kim, I'm curious to know, like, you know, in those early footy years, you know, our footy games on telly would have still been in black and white.
Yeah.
Did you go along to the games when he was playing in Perth, or did you stay home and watch some waffle stuff, or...? What do you remember about being a kid?
His last game, this is really going to show how old I am, his last game was in 1971, and I was, I would have been 5. And I think I'm remembering more sort of photos and footage, but then he was still coaching, and so I was force-fed football from the moment my eyes open until I went to sleep. And the training, you know, at all the training, at all the games, by the time I got to 14, I was just like, I'm voting with my feet. I'm staying home to watch Saturday afternoon B-grade movies with Elvis.
Yeah, fun in Acapulco, Dad. That's it.
Yeah, okay. So we're talking foundation, we're talking about how long it's been going. We've already indicated 1997, you've had a celebration of, how many years is that, 97? That's 27 years ago, same time as we launched the Bringing Them Home report. That's a coincidence, isn't
it?
So there you go, and a very, very amazing role model. And I mean, it's still black and white in the footy, though. There's a lot of blacks playing footy.
That's true.
So, you know, whether the TV was black and white, I mean, it's the same thing. I love it when when people are taking photos of us, I say, well, don't do it in colours, just do it in black and white.
Did you watch the Frat Bar last night?
No.
Oh, had Derek Kickett, Michael O'Loughlin, Leon Davis, and Leon Davis's dad was in the audience, Trevor, Uncle Trevor.
Really?
And one other beautiful person, but I can't remember who it was. But it was great. And they were talking about, in their playing days, they were like one of 10, and now there's, 90-something, or maybe it's something like 75 across AFL of First Nation players.
Wow. Mm.
If you've just tuned in, this is Moorich Mag on RTR-FM, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM, and we're delighted to have Kim Farmer in the studio today talking about her dad, Graham Polly Farmer, and the work he's undertaking. And so I just gave you a brief on some of his football background, and I just remember Polly as Graham as just an amazing ruckman, and those handballs, probably as long as I could kick, he did the handball. So amazing sports person, and really showed his true colours when he went over to Geelong.
Did you ever meet him?
No, I can't say. So that's probably, that's one of my biggest disappointments. There were a lot of people I didn't meet in those days. I mean, when I talk about myself, I started playing when I was 28.
Did you? Didn't think to do it a little bit earlier?
No, that's why I got bad knees at the moment. But anyway, we're talking Polly Farmer and talking Polly Farmer Foundation. As I say, we're delighted that Kim's in the studio talking to us.
And, just an amazing legacy. And, I mean, your whole family must be so proud of the esteem that your dad's held in, not just for his footy prowess, but how this legacy will just go on and on and on and make such a difference in the lives of our young people.
Well, it's already obviously beyond his life, and he did get to see some of the successes, in the later years, not so much, but he certainly saw many young people go on to university, which was, one of the early goals, and it's it is a huge legacy. I was thinking about it on the way here, when I'm well and truly gone, it'll still be around. Mm. Many, Aboriginal organisations shouldn't be thinking that they will be there forever, but they should be trying to put themselves out of a job because they're doing such a good job, and all Aboriginal people are moving forward. But as Fred Cheney said, pre-referendum, actually there's always going to be Aboriginal people around, and so organisations will just adapt to provide supports for greater success and to provide leaders as, rather than being led, as I think I mentioned earlier in the week.
Yeah, but
we want to be leaders in industries and not be led.
And Polly would have come, at a time like a lot of our older people where you couldn't go to university.
That wasn't an option, as you said. Jim, we're still in, the three of us are still where we are saying, this is the first person to study this. This is the first person to go into politics. We're living in our first generation of first for Aboriginal people, and yet there's still a first happening now. It was never contemplation. It wouldn't even been a contemplation that you'd go to year 12.
Yeah.
Dad was really fortunate. He was he went on to year 10 at Kenwick, but he really would have liked to have gone on further, and maybe he wasn't thinking about it at the time, but in later years, I think he thought he was pretty clever, and it could have been something he could have done.
Yeah. Look, let's go back a bit, and given it's Sorry Day this Sunday, and we've been promoting that, Sorry Day is the 27th anniversary of the Bingham Home Report being tabled, which was a national inquiry into removal of children from family, culture and country. And so Dad was a member of the Stolen Generation.
Yes.
And was raised at Sister Kate's, which was an orphanage.
Yes, that's right.
And the orphanage was such, was quite an experiment in this country, where quadroons these dreadful names were people that were light-skinned, and it was the hope of government and A.O. Neville and the government right across the country and breeding out the colour. So there's a dreadful history that needs to be said, And because it's Sorry Day this weekend and it's Reconciliation Week next week. So he's come through in flying colours in that he's achieved what he's wanted to do and now a foundation named after him. So a marvellous football career, playing at the highest level, influencing so many people because he coached as well, coaching career 1968-71 at West Perth, 73-75 at Geelong, 76-77 in East Perth, and then he coached the West Australian side 70-71 and 1977. So, you know, it's not to be sneered at here. It's something that he's really fulfilled as far as his own football career. And now we're talking a foundation which is really inspiring a lot of young people, because he was an amazing role model. And now you're talking this week about the legal forums where young people are aspiring to be lawyers.
Yep.
Or and I mean, we don't have to be an AFL player. We don't have to aspire to do that. And I think for far too long we've held AFL players up on a pedestal. There's nothing wrong with that. But our young people need to understand more. There's more to life. I mean, if you don't have the prowess to be a top league or top sports person, there's other ways to get involved and help your community. So I'm just inspired at what you two have been saying this week around today about leadership and how young people are being interested in law. So I just think there's been some amazing people like this man here, and I can think of others that were at Sister Cades too. The late Rob Riley was also there. So there were some inspirational people coming through there. And you saw a photo this morning of Mary Miller, our first ever ballerina.
Wow.
So she was at Sister Cades.
Oh, wow.
So there were some really inspirational people that have come through there. So
Magistrate Sue Gordon?
Yes.
She was there.
Yeah. So there's been some real legends, I'd have to say legends, of how they've come through a difficult situation where they didn't know parents, didn't know parents existed, and then found out later that they shouldn't have been in an orphanage. This is history. This is a truth-telling. So Dad, old boy Graham Polly Farmer,
was coming out of Sister Cades, the only opportunity really for him to kind of infiltrate the wider community was through football. There wasn't any other mechanism for him to do it. And he couldn't just be average. You weren't going to get anyone helping you out if you're average. The reason why people were helping him out was because they could see the potential in him. And people like Square Kilmurray was in the same boat, and I think it was Jack Hunt. For Dad, he put everything into it, which a lot of successful people do when they've had a sort of a road of trauma. They're getting over something, they were really inspired. I always saw Dad being so single visioned, and that's why he was able to do it. He had to kind of block some of the stuff, and that's just ongoing. He took that to his grave, really, those things he was trying to block out. But there wasn't any other option. So when you say, you know, I hope that there's actually more Indigenous First Nations AFL players, because it's dropped off to a degree.
Mm.
But Aboriginal people in Australia are a huge population. I want to see the lawyers. I want to see the politicians.
Yes.
Young politicians or reasonably young politicians going into it now, which is so exciting. I want to see leaders of every industry. Back in Dad's day, there was only one option. It was football. Otherwise he would have gone to the farm, and they had to petition the parliament to allow him to stay and play at East Perth, because he was destined, still being under the Native Welfare Act, until he was 21.
What was the farm?
Well, he was just, they, you know, leave Sister Cates, then you go down south. That's right, hey, Jim?
No, that's the way. And, the last few weeks we've been really contemplating what removal meant, and we've now realised that once you were removed, you had a record.
Yeah.
And that was the dreadful part. You know, our people were born into the criminal system, because once you were taken, you had that record. And that's been now reinforced by the Child Welfare Act, and that's really something that history doesn't tell us. And, you know,
sorry, Jim, but also, you know that, like, the mums still had to pay, that, you know, the parents still had to pay the government for their child that had been removed from them. And they would get criminal offences if they weren't able to do that. I mean, it's just outrageous. You get your child taken and then you have to pay. You know.
Wow. I haven't heard that before. is outrageous. Yeah.
Well, I think what the example here, when we're talking about this great man, this the freeway's named after, is, you know, we've got to be transparent in all of this. And, you know, there's a lot of people that have got blinkers on. They've got a lot of people that have blinkers on that don't fully appreciate their history. And I'm finding that out in a very dreadful way in being at a leaders' forum the last few days, where people got blinkers on, they don't want, really appreciate what their history is. And what this man has proved is... Is he shone? You know, he probably felt he had to shine because he was being watched. And I think that's an issue with a lot of First Nation people. If they want to aspire, they've got to do well, otherwise they're going to be seen as failures. And that's a dreadful pressure,
terrible pressure to
apply on us, you know? And that would have happened to a lot of AFL players that have fallen by the wayside.
But 100%. And so we see these young people that are ending up in the criminal justice system because of these issues. But also it's young people coming through now. Like, I've spoke to one young person who feels the pressure of the world on her shoulders, and you'll hear this repeatedly when they're the young person that's succeeding, they have aspirations. We heard it with Lydia on Monday. And so the family are putting, but they don't mean to, they're just proud. But that's a lot of pressure for a young person. And, you know, that's why it's really important to kind of look after people that are carrying the sort of glow of the whole family on their shoulders because they've shown potential and they want to succeed. Bill Dempsey tells a wonderful story about feeling that way too and being told by his grandfather at 13, so on your shoulders, families are relying on you. The pressure.
Well, we're talking to Kim Farmer, daughter of the great Graham Polly Farmer. We're going to go to a song because we're going to talk more about this foundation and where you're at. So stay tuned. Keep it locked to 92.1 RTR FM and Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM, Minang Country.
Yeah, that song was co-written by Kev Carmody and Paul Kelly. A few versions of it over the years. Great song and really in tune with what we're talking about today with Kim Farmer and her late dad, Polly Farmer, Polly Graham Farmer. From little things, big things do grow, hey?
That's for sure. I mean, you need to talk about the podcast that we've got on this website. You can stream it any time you want after lunch and what this show was all about. And hear Kim Farmer talk some more later. Repeat.
And when we're talking about From Little Things, Big Things Grow, the Polly Farmer Foundation, look, I would urge people just to jump on the internet and check out the website and see the amazing work that these guys are doing. But more excitingly, or as excitingly, branching out and going to be setting up a STEM program for primary school kids in Geelong.
Get out.
Well, you're nearly STEM. Right, Jody.
Not right?
Again, you guys are nearly so close. I went to the brand new primary STEM out at Gilmore College this week, which is all the primary schools will feed in and the college will host them once a week. So that is so exciting because it's like what we spoke about before. You've got to start early. It's great you're doing it in the high school, but, you know, we want the scientists and the engineers and the mathematicians and all those that, because they went, I did STEM from when I was 10. But what we're doing in Geelong, we're predominantly in Western Australia, but we're also in places like Alice Springs, Port Augusta, Muswellbrook, Groote Eylandt. But we've been trying for many years to establish in Geelong, Victoria, and it's really special to me, not just because, you know, Dad happened to be playing and coaching and they did win the grand final in 1967, but I was born there during that time. So I've got a bit of a connection. I mean, this is my home, but that's actually where I was born. And also, obviously, because of Dad's VFL then, playing career with Geelong. It's so special, and we're starting this year.
Wow.
A STEM program?
They will do STEM, I'm sure, but it'll be
a
high school.
From? Where have I got that STEM stuff from?
Because I said they're in the primary school now, out at Gilmore in Kwinana.
Okay.
So you're going across to Geelong for...
Well, this weekend I am going to the it's called the Geelang Round, and it's part of the Indigenous Round, Sir Doug Nicholls Round, and I'm really excited. It's going to be a great game. We're playing GWS.
Wow. Okay. I want to know more about the bricks and mortar now. So you've purchased a place near East Perth, so that's obviously traditional country for a lot of our mob that come to Perth. East Perth traditionally is a place where we meet. So it is in a very in a logical place, given it's the start of the Graham Farmer Freeway as well. So has there been an opening, or are you launching the place?
I'll tell you a little bit quickly about it, because I know time is ticking. But we've got a celebration on Monday afternoon. We're going to have Denise Kickett's going to welcome and smoke the place out. You know, it's an old place, but it's been done up a little bit and looks good. I'll be there with the park. We've got, I think it's Casey Emery, who's an alumni. She went to Belmont, and she's done a magnificent mural. She's in the midst of finishing it off. Going to be a moment to go, like, look where we've been. Look where we're going.
Mm. Oh, that's lovely.
Exciting.
I can't be there.
You can't be there?
No.
Well, that invitation was extended to you, Jim, but...
Oh, dear. What time is it?
It'll be 4 o'clock.
Oh, I'm going to make it. I'll make it. Good. Oh, get there.
We're out of time. I don't know where it's gone.
Sorry.
It's like, oh, what are we going to talk
Jim,
about?
I blame Jim, I think.
What are we going to talk about,
Kim,
on the
thanks
program?
For coming on the show. Kim Farmer, talking about Polly Farmer, Graham Polly Farmer. Thank you for tuning in to Mooritj Mag on 92.1 Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Kim.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Kim.